Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Knowing Christ Ministries half hour, or as we like to think of it, the 30 minutes during which we focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, the one true Son of God Almighty. For my earlier broadcasts, you know one of my goals was to have a series discussing the history and lyrics of hymns. I've been praying for someone to come forth and provide us with some musical talent for this, but as none has come forth as of yet, I figured we'd just plunge in at this point and just talk. We're going to conversate. Now, some of you might know I'm very partial to the lyrics and hymns. They make me stop and really think about how blessed we are to have our Lord Jesus in our lives and literally with us 24/7. I actually listen to Southern Gospel music all day long on streaming audio, and probably about 75% of it is all wonderful recordings of hymns. So when I hear words like, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand, tired, I'm weak, I am worn, through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." When I hear those lyrics, I literally stop whatever I'm doing and I pause to reflect. There are so many times we all feel weak, so defeated, and our precious, precious Lord is right there for us with hands outstretched to take ours. And just that thought alone, I truly do get overwhelmed. But I also get much stronger and I feel at peace. And so with that, today we're going to discuss the background and history of the hymn, Precious Lord. Now, the song has been translated into 32 languages and was actually the favorite of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. And Mahalia Jackson actually sang that at his funeral. It was also sung by Leontine Price at Lyndon Baines Johnson, President Johnson's funeral. Yet, the author of it, who penned it, Thomas Andrew Dorsey, is not very, very well known. People think of Tommy Dorsey as the big band leader, or there's a sports, I think baseball hero, Tom Dorsey. And they're different. This is Thomas Andrew Dorsey. They're different men in different genres. Now, Thomas Andrew Dorsey was born in Georgia on July 1st, 1899. He was a blues band leader for singers including Ma Rainey. But after becoming a Christian, he turned to writing gospel music. Reportedly, after undergoing a spiritual experience while hearing the hymn, "I Do, Don't You," at a Baptist convention. Now, across the course of his lifetime, he penned more than 1,000 gospel hymns, including "Say Amen," "Somebody," "Take My Hand," and "Peace in the Valley." We're going to talk about some of those in future broadcasts. He died in Chicago on the 23rd of January in 1993 from complications of Alzheimer's. Now, Dorsey was the son of a Baptist preacher. His mother was the church organist. And throughout his early years, he felt torn between the sacred and the secular. However, the Dorsey family relocated from rural Georgia to Atlanta in 1908. When they relocated, things changed. They struggled economically, and his mother took work as a domestic servant, and his father actually had to work as a laborer, curtailing his pastoring because of their financial issues. Now, Dorsey actually describes feeling alienated from school and church during his first few years in Atlanta. He was actually demoted in public school and, as a result, ostracized by other children, and with church no longer the focal point of his parents' life, since they had to take different jobs, or his father had to curtail pastoring, his connection to Christianity also waned. Now, at 11, he left school to take a job at a local vaudeville theater. And 6 years later, he left Atlanta for Chicago, being part of the Great Migration North. In Chicago, Dorsey became almost an instant success. He was known as the whispering piano player, called to perform at after-hour parties where the pianist had to play quietly enough to avoid drawing police attention. Now, Thomas loved music. At a very early age, long before his musical education at the Chicago College of Composition and Arranging, so you see, he really was quite an accomplished musician. He was playing piano in a vaudeville act. Now, after Chicago, he played, like I say, at these jazz clubs, at these after-hour parties, and he gained the nickname of Georgia Tom. At 21 years old, he was leading a very busy but unhealthy lifestyle and ended up with a nervous breakdown. It's been said that one night while he was on stage, he noticed an quote-unquote unsteadiness in his playing, and that gradually left him worse and worse and worse, leaving him eventually unable to write or practice over the course of 2 years. So, of course, he visited doctors, sought treatment, took time off, and nothing worked. He thought of suicide. And then he began to think more seriously about his faith. He visited a faith healer, Bishop H.H. Haley. Now, Dorsey described to his biographer how Haley pulled a live serpent out of his throat. But Brother Dorsey, Haley reportedly said, "There's no reason for you to be looking so poorly and feeling so badly. The Lord has too much work for you to let you die." So he returned back to Atlanta to convalesce, and there his mother admonished him to stop playing the blues, and also, like the Reverend or Bishop Haley, told him to serve the Lord. Now, there's two different accounts here that I found. One said that in 1921, at the age of 22, Thomas gave his life to Jesus and almost immediately left the jazz clubs and began writing gospel music. Another said that he ignored her, his mother's admonition, and returned back to Chicago playing with Ma Rainey. And then he married his sweetheart, Nettie Harper. But in 1925, he had a second nervous breakdown, leaving him completely unable to play any kind of music. And it took him 3 years to recover from that, at which point he committed himself to composing sacred music. However, mainstream churches also rejected his songs, so Dorsey began developing a sacred music based on secular blues. It featured syncopated notes in an 8-bar blues structure, but instead of themes of defiance in the face of despair, the theme most common in the, which is the theme, of course, most common in the blues, this new music told stories of hope and affirmation. Dorsey described it as good news on either side. And his first song, his first gospel song, "If You See My Savior, Tell Him That You Saw Me," was published in 1932. And we may look that up later. But less than a year later, in 1933, Dorsey was back in the secular blues business full-time. His gospel music met with so much resistance from pastors who at that time considered it devil's music, I can only imagine what they'd think of now, or with the music now, that he found it easier to play the blues straight. And this could be where some of the accounts of his history vacillate a little bit. But be that as it may, in August of 1932, Dorsey's life was thrown into crisis. While the now Reverend Dorsey, he became a reverend, was leading a church service, a man came up to the platform to hand him a telegram. His wife had just died in childbirth, his wife Nettie. And then within 24 hours, his newborn baby died also. See, I'm starting to cry at this. Reverend Dorsey, Thomas Dorsey, quickly spiraled downwards into the depths of despair, doubting the goodness of God and determining never to write another hymn. Many people can relate to that when something bad happens. We doubt the goodness of God. But what happened? What happened to Dorsey? A week after that horrible life-changing day when his wife and newborn baby both died. Thomas was deep into his grief. He was sitting alone at a piano in a friend's music room. But into the room came a heavy peace such that he had never known before, that sense of peace and serenity. And as that sense of peace and serenity enveloped him, Thomas once again felt the urge to play the piano. His fingers found a familiar melody and the words to Precious Lord, "Take my hand," began to well up from his heart and spill out of his mouth. God had given him a song that would not only lift him from despair, but would also change the course of his music history and music career. As I said, Precious Lord, Take My Hand's been translated into, another site said, 40 languages. It's sung by some of the biggest names in gospel music. I already mentioned Mahalia Jackson. It was sung by Elvis Presley. And he went on to write a lot more hymns, as I said, which we'll talk about, including Peace in the Valley, which became actually the first gospel song recorded in history to sell more than 1 million copies. That was Peace in the Valley. And Precious Lord, Take My Hand, of course, is based on scripture, in this case, from Isaiah 41, verse 13. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I am sorry, I cry through these things. In fact, Dorsey actually wrote an account about the events leading to the creation of the hymn. So here are the words in his own words, and I'm quoting here, and I hope I can do this without crying. Back in 1932, I was 32 years old and a fairly new husband. My wife Nettie and I were living in a little apartment on Chicago's South Side. One hot afternoon, I had to go to St. Louis, where I was to be the featured soloist at a large revival meeting. I didn't want to go. Nettie was in the last month of pregnancy with her first child. But a lot of people were expecting me in St. Louis. I kissed Nettie goodbye, clattered downstairs to her Model A, and in a fresh Lake Michigan breeze, chugged out of Chicago on Route 66. However, outside the city, I discovered that my anxiety at leaving, having forgotten my music case, I wheeled around and headed back. I found Nettie sleeping peacefully. I hesitated by her bed. Something was strongly telling me to stay. But eager to get on my way and not wanting to disturb Nettie, I shrugged off the feeling and quietly slipped out of the room with my music. The next night, in the steaming St. Louis heat, the crowd called on me to sing again and again. When I finally sat down, a messenger boy ran up with a Western Union telegram. I ripped open the envelope. Pasted on the yellow sheet were the words, "Your wife just died." People were happily singing and clapping around me, but I could hardly keep from crying out. I rushed to a phone and called home. All I could hear on the other end was, "Nettie is dead. Nettie is dead." When I got back, I learned that Nettie had given birth to a boy. I swung between grief and joy, yet that night, the baby died. I buried Nettie and her little boy together in the same casket. Then I fell apart. For days, I closeted myself. I felt that God had done me an injustice. I didn't want to serve him anymore or write gospel songs. I just wanted to go back to that jazz world I once knew so well. But then, as I hunched alone in that dark apartment those first sad days, I thought back to the afternoon I went to St. Louis. Something kept telling me to stay with Nettie. Was that something God? Oh, if I had paid more attention to him that day, I would have stayed and been with Nettie when she died. From that moment on, I vowed to listen more closely to him. But still, I was lost in grief. Everyone was kind to me, especially my friend Pastor Professor Fry, who seemed to know what I needed. On the following Saturday evening, he took me to Malone's Poro College, a neighborhood music school. It was quiet. The late evening sun crept through the curtained windows. I sat down at the piano, and my hands began to browse over the keys. And then something happened to me. Then I felt at peace. I felt as though I could reach out and touch God. I found myself playing a melody when I'd never heard her play before, and the words into my head, they just seemed to fall into place. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. And then he goes on to say, I can't take credit for this stuff. I'm only human, and these things are the makings of God. I feel I've thoroughly been blessed over the years with an abundance of songs and material. There definitely is a God behind this thing that I do. Everything I do, that's good at least, is a reflection of his hand. The Lord gave me these words and melody. He also healed my spirit. I learned that when we are in our deepest grief, when we feel the farthest from God, this is when he is closest, and when we are most open to his restoring power. And so I go on living for God willingly and joyfully until that day comes when he will take me and gently. Lead me home. So let us once again look at the lyrics. And you all wonder why I don't sing through this stuff. It's because I would be crying through everything, like I am now anyway. Now I want you to think about them. Pause the broadcast if you need to and reflect on how you feel as you reach out your hands to the Lord, the only one to give you the strength to go on. After all, how many who would have suffered and do so, suffered the tragedy like Dorsey did, turn away and curse the Lord rather than come to him? How many rely on him to take their hands? So again, the lyrics. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I'm tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears, and the night draws near, and the day is past and gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. So now, I ask you to reflect on these lyrics. Do you find they give you a sense of hope? They give me an overwhelming sense of security and peace. He is there for us all. The Lord is there for us. He is there to hear our cry. He is there to hear our call. He is there to guide our path. He is there when darkness appears. He is there at the river. He is there to guide our feet. And I know I can always reach out my hand, and he is there to hold it and lead me on and lead me home. And my dear friends, he is there for you as well. So with that, I invite you to contact us with any comments or questions you might have on this or any other broadcast. And again, I apologize for this series. Just, I'm giving you a blanket statement. Get used to it. I cry. For me, the lyrics are so overwhelming at the intimacy we have been privileged to get from our relationship with the Lord through knowing him and knowing he is there and having faith that he is there at all times, good and bad. This precious, precious Lord. So again, this is why I don't sing through songs. This is why I don't join any choirs, even though I do have a good voice. And it's just, I am so overwhelmed by the Lord that I cry. That's me. So anyway, now let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for our sins. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for welcoming us and enabling us at Knowing Christ Ministries to have a platform to spread your messages and how your message can be applied to our lives here on this earth, our current home away from our permanent future home in the heavenlies. Father, we ask for your blessing as we listen to the stories and history behind some of the wonderful worship and praise music written to glorify you, our precious, precious, precious Lord. We thank you for always being there to take our hands and lead us home. We pray that others feel drawn to come to you and reach out their hands as well, finding safety, security, peace, and with the faith and knowing you are there to lead them home as well. In your ever-blessed name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. I want to thank you for listening to us today. If you'd like more information on our speaking engagements or have us visit your church or organization, please email us at info@knowingchrist.com. Books are also available on Amazon throughout the world or off of our Facebook page that we've written through our ministry. For updates and invitations for our next shows, please visit our Facebook page and like us to stay in the know. I usually use our Facebook page to announce the broadcast and what's scheduled for any particular week or series, along with times we'll be broadcasting. So especially having the app to be able to interact with us, our Knowing Christ Ministries Tracks app. Like us and make certain you check back to that page regularly if the Facebook algorithm doesn't generate our postings on your newsfeed. If you don't like us, you won't see any of our postings on your newsfeed. So just visiting our page isn't going to do it. You need to like us. It's as simple as that. Of course, we use our Facebook page to reach you in other ways as well. And like I said, our publications, including the books we've talked about in broadcast, God, Marriage, and Illness, and the God Prescription can be ordered directly. And donations to our ministry can also be made directly off of our Facebook page too. Of course, like I said, I want to remind you that our app, Knowing Christ Ministries Tracks, is available for free download on both the iOS and Android platforms. There's a short 15-minute broadcast from last week that can help you find, download, and use the app. And I strongly suggest you locate that and listen, then find, download, and use the app. We love hearing from people, that, and the app actually offers the perfect preset option with an email already addressed to us within the app. All you need to do is just add text in the message and hit send, and you're done. So, again, the broadcast from last week will explain how to do all of that. I invite you to join us next week when we'll discuss another hymn. But until then, please remember, it's not what you know, it's who you know. This is Dr. Danielle West trying to dry her eyes for Knowing Christ Ministries saying, may Christ continue to bless you richly. Have a blessed week, my dear friends.